Well, hello again. It's good to be with you again this week. Before we leave this section of the website called From Formula to Relationship, I started to just pass on and not say anything more about the serving son. See, I've got a series at the website entitled The Serving Son. It's MP3 format. It's not on YouTube. But it's six messages, goes in great detail. I listened to it again recently. I wouldn't change a word. It's truth then, it's truth now. And I was just going to go on to the next section of the website, but I felt a check in my spirit, and so I went back and reread these two lessons, The Serving Son's Enemy, and the next one, which is The Serving Son's Helper. And I just feel like the Lord wants me to kind of do a summary of these. Now, if you want the detailed lessons, they're at the website. It's called The Serving Son, and there's six messages in MP3 format. So I'm not going to go into great detail today, but hopefully this will whet your appetite. Because now, what do you mean, Gary, when you say The Serving Son? Well, this all goes back to the story we're all familiar with, the prodigal son. And you know that story. This father had two sons. One of them took his inheritance, went into the world, and wasted his life and his inheritance on sin. And he finally ran out of money, he got so low that he wound up feeding pigs, which life doesn't get much lower for a Jew than feeding the pigs. And he got so hungry, he was about to put his face into the trough and eat right along with the pigs. I mean, it's really a picture of what a life of sin will do to you. It'll reduce you down right down to that level. So he finally came to himself, and you know the story. He returned to his father's house, and the father just rejoiced that his son, who was lost, had been found and restored. And so he had a big barbecue. Well, he had another son, this elder son, who he labored in the fields all the time. He didn't go off into sin, but he had no relationship with his father through fellowship. And the reason you can tell that, he was upset that the father had this big party for the prodigal who had returned home. He thought the father should disown him and be mad at him and judge him. And see, what that lets you know is he did not know his father's heart at all. He did not. And let's say it another way. The love that was in the father for the sinner's son, was that love was not in the elder son. Well, what would be the cure for that? And we've already been through all this, and I'm really summarizing. The only cure for that would be for the elder son to come in and start spending time with his father. And it wouldn't be very long before he would find out, well, that the father's heart was just broken over these lost sons who are, you know, they're lost into sin and all kinds of depravity. And the father wants them restored. He wants them found. Well, at first, this elder son, if he'd come in this fellowship, if you can just picture coming, okay, I'm going to come in and just spend time with my father and maybe a coffee and donuts or something. Not trying to labor in the fields all the time, just spend time with the Father. Intimacy. Getting to know the Father's heart. Well, not only would he find out that the Father really loved the sinner, the love that was in the Father for the sinner would eventually start being born, transferred, grown in the heart of this elder son. And finally, the day might come when he'd go, well, Father, if you feel that way and you're so heartbroken about the sinners, your lost son, would you like for me to go find him? See if I can find him and tell him that you want him, that you still love him and you want him to come home? See, and right there, the birth of a ministry, there's the birth of a ministry. You know, the evangelism is born right there. And so the serving son, and all of this is in great detail in that series. So the elder son would become the serving son. See, it's not enough to just be religious. You know, I go to church, I pay my tithes, I try and be a good person. You know, no. Listen, you're in a family. This whole thing is about God getting his family back. As far as he's concerned, and I taught on this just recently, the same way when my youngest daughter, when she was in her rebellious stage and wound up actually in jail behind bars, I'll never forget what it was like for me looking at my beloved daughter behind bars. Now, I was not happy with her actions that got her there, but boy, my love for her never changed. And I want you to know, all I wanted was my daughter back. I just wanted my real daughter. I wanted my daughter back. And that's the way God is with these sinners. I want my family back. And to him, all the sinners really are the lost sons of Adam. They're the lost sons of the Father. And he wants them. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if those that would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This whole thing is about seeking and saving the lost. Let's say it another way. This whole thing is about God getting his family back. So there would come a time in this, the way the Lord's taught it to me, where the elder son would become a serving son. See, and Jesus is the ultimate serving son. He is the fully mature Son of God in all of his glory. But what did he do? He said, I came not to be served, but rather to serve. I have come to seek and to save the lost. I've come not to do my own will, but the will of the Father. Well, that's the way that the serving son would be. He said, I'm going to go look for would you like for me to go look for him and find him? Oh, would I? The Father, he said, I'll provide the wagons. I'll provide the resources. Whatever you need on this mission, I'll provide it. And yes, go find my lost sons and tell them I want them back. You know, that's evangelism. Now, see, in the beginning, I didn't quite understand this because I am not an evangelist, and you may or may not be. And I thank God for evangelists, you know. I like how Alan Taylor says it. He said, a pure blood evangelist, they'll just take the page out of their Bible that John 3:16 is on. They rip that page out. Here, this is all you need. You know, you need. Why are you in here praying and fasting? We got people out here that's lost. Just go tell them, you know. Well, that's their calling, and that's what they see. But see, not all of us are evangelists. I'm a teacher. See, the part that stood out to me was not that so much. The part that stood out to me was when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Three times he asked him, because Peter had denied him three times. Peter, do you love me? And every time he'd say, well, if you love me, feed my sheep. That's what came off the page to me. I'm a teacher. My job is to feed the sheep. God will talk to you, you know, from the very pages of the Bible concerning your calling. Okay, can't get into that today. Well, you might say, well, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not going to go out on the front lines. Listen, the whole body of Christ, I don't care if you are an evangelist, a teacher. I don't care if you're a housewife raising godly children. I don't care if you're a factory worker and you are the only Christian on your assembly line. You are the light and you are the salt, and God has trusted you there to be a shining witness in the face of darkness. The same daughter of mine who had this true story of her behind bars today, if you met her today and you're around her just a little, she is such a witness for Christ. I'm not an evangelist, but what I mean is she won't compromise. And where she's working right now, you know, they're always talking about marijuana and this and that and stuff they're doing. And they know she's a Christian. She lets them know. She says, no, I don't do that. I'm a Christian. And it doesn't offend them. I mean, they're all like, well, you know, we're not Christians like you, but she's a light. She's a witness. If you saw her today, you'd slap my face. Said, how dare you say that about her? That can't be true. No, well, it was true. I got my daughter back. And God got his daughter back, see. Anyway, so I don't care who you are. You know, I don't care if you answer the phone at the church. I don't care, you know, if you're in your mind, well, I'm just making a living and taking care of my family. Well, thank God for you. But wherever you are, Be the light. Don't hide it. You don't have to be an evangelist. Let the light shine. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. You are the salt of the earth. Be salt and be light. Put always in your heart, the kingdom comes first. And you know you'll do whatever the Lord asks you to do. You'll do it. So this serving son applies to all of us who are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It doesn't mean you're necessarily, you know, in the fivefold. You might be, might not be. But putting the kingdom first, if that's the case, you're a serving son. You are a serving son, male or female. Doesn't matter. So what I want to do in this lesson, I was just going through this and I didn't feel a release. I'm just going to go through some of the highlights on the document I've got in front of me right now. It's from my website. It's called The Serving Son's Enemy. Because if you can get the picture, and I'm going to go back, all of this is taught in the context of the elder son spending time with the father until he understood the love that was in the father's heart starts being birthed in his heart. And would you like for me to go look for these lost sons? Well, yes. So he has left. He's leaving on a mission, and the father is overjoyed. He said, "Listen, I'll provide what you need. I'll send help, whatever you need." Yes, yes. Put first the kingdom and everything you need will be added to you. That's Matthew chapter 6. So if you can get the image of this, you know, and the way I saw it was like, okay, they're going to load up caravans, and this elder son, he's got servants and helper, well, people that's going to go with him from the father, supplies, and they've gone out to look for the to seek and save the lost. Let me just put it like that. So that's the image, okay? Now, the thing of it is, the enemy saw that there's an enemy out there. Have you found that out? He's been defeated, but he doesn't act like he's been defeated. And he's out to stop you if he can. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 says you better put on the whole armor of God because in order to be able to stand, because the enemy, he's going to do... I love how Dave would say it. He'll stop you if you're stoppable. Boy, that's the truth. So this enemy saw that the serving son had left the father's house to go seek and save the lost. He was determined, this enemy was determined to stop this rescue mission at all costs. This enemy had hordes of beings with him, of course that's demons, and he sent waves of them to attack the serving son and everybody that was with the serving son in order to stop the rescue mission. Now, I just listed some of the tactics. If you can picture this caravan going out, leaving the father's house, and they're going to seek and save the lost, and they got to go find him, you know. So this enemy, here comes waves of attacks. He did all kinds of things. Like number one, he posted road signs along the way that gave false directions in order to lead the serving son down wrong paths. Boy, oh boy. Diversion, get you off the path, get you thinking about something else, get you spending your time on some other thing that's not really what God called you to do. That's one tactic. Second one that I saw, he saw that the father was sending these supplies to keep the rescue mission stocked up with necessary provisions. Okay. So he sent some of his hordes of demons to intercept the provisions in order to starve out the serving son and his servants. Boy, if you don't think the enemy will attack your finances, attack your provision, he will. And I don't think I have to preach very hard about that. Most of you are already aware of that. All right, here's a third tactic. This enemy kept sending false messengers, now quote, in the name of the Father. So, you know, Paul would call them false brethren, religion, to discourage the serving son. They brought all kinds of evil reports, and here's just a few that I could think of. The father has died. Most of you are not old enough to remember when Time magazine put on the cover, decades ago, God is dead. I mean, there was a whole thing about God is dead. Anyway. Or another one that this false religion, Paul would call them false brethren, to send a message. Well, the father's mad at you. He's angry with you. The father's gone broke. There'll be no more supplies for you. Or how about the father, he just decided to no longer supply your needs. I don't care that you're out here seeking, saving the lost, doing everything you know to do to put first the kingdom of God. The father's no longer going to supply your needs. That's the devil. And then the father has canceled the mission. He's changed his mind. I am the Lord, and I change not. Okay. The enemy sent, he also sent direct attacks against the serving son and his caravan. In the one way was in the form of sickness and disease. Yeah. Some of these, if I start trying to preach on a lot of these, we'll never get through this review. If you want details, I recommend the 6-message series at the website, The Serving Son. This is just a review. He sent diversions. Okay, first it was sickness and disease. Then he would send diversions in the forms of all kinds of calamity. I'm going to say flat tires, dishwasher broke, wind blew your roof off. Diversions, you know. Anything to occupy you. How about another one I thought of? Well, the camels wound up being lame. That would be car trouble today, wouldn't it? Dust storms, lightning, floods came, shortages occurred. That would be like even equipment failure. He sent temptations in the form of pleasure to try to divert the son from the father's rescue mission. Eat, drink, and be merry. Life is short. Enjoy it. And so he'll get you. And I'm not against hobbies and stuff, but listen, if your boat becomes your life, if golf becomes your life, if hobbies are fine, but if your life becomes motorcycles, now motorcycles are fine. I know people that their whole ministry is through motorcycles. Oh, praise God. But listen, this is why we teach mortification of the flesh, so that you won't be led off by pleasures of the flesh, even ones that are not sinful. Okay. He sent diversions in the form of false assignments, saying, the Father wants you to focus on this now. You don't need to focus on that first thing so much. Here, you need to be involved in this. And Paul called that shadow boxing. He says, listen, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not playing at boxing. Listen, devil, if you get in the way of Paul, you're going to get hit. Paul ain't playing. He's not playing. The devil wants to get you just playing, just doing stuff that doesn't really matter. Boy, see, I'm really having to hold myself back because there's so much to say along that line. All right. He sent his hordes. Here's another way that he tries to stop you. He sent hordes to cause envy, jealousy, strife, any kind of division amongst all those who went with the serving son. What if he could get his caravan, all the ones that were with him to help? What if he could get them all fighting against each other, see? Because the enemy knows that a house divided cannot stand. So the enemy is sending all of these things. This is really, it's Ephesians 6. You better put on the whole armor of God. And really, I love how Pastor Dave, he said it, but then Bronk said it. Listen, there are wiles and strategies of the enemy. And the first 5.5 or so chapters of Ephesians focuses on dealing with your flesh so that the last chapter deals with you now overcoming the enemy. But if you never deal with the flesh, it's not likely you're going to overcome the enemy, because he comes at you through the flesh. But anyway, so the enemy sent his hordes into the villages along the way too. It wasn't just with the caravan. These everywhere that the serving son would go now, he'd come into a village and they'd say, well, you're a fool to give your life to rescue that prodigal. These sinners, after all, they've made their choice. You know, today we say they made their bed, now they need to sleep in it, you know. Or another thing they might say is, you're mistaken concerning the will of the Father. They said the Father only wanted judgment and punishment for the prodigal. Well, that's not what he learned by spending time with the Father. The people would say, you're just, boy, if this is not today, they would call him arrogant and prideful, and to think that the Father would supply every need to finance this rescue mission. Who do you think you are anyway? I think I'm a son of God who he has empowered to go seek and save the lost. My job as a teacher is just as much a part of it as any evangelist out there. But the mission, you know, later, at one point, Paul said, listen, the whole body of Christ is like your human body. You've got many parts in the body. You know, we've got my ear, and I've got a nose, and I got eyes, and I got a mouth, and they all have different functions. They all play different roles, but they're all part of the body. Well, that's the very same way it is with the body of Christ. We've got all these different parts, but you put it all together, we've got one soul-winning machine. We've got everything is needed in order to accomplish the mission of seeking and saving the lost. Okay. Okay, here's another one that the enemy would send. He'd get the people saying, they'd say, the Father, he doesn't supply such needs. And they know that he doesn't because they'd asked him many times for longer cars and VCRs. And he hadn't supplied them. But see, they were like James says, well, you ask amiss. You're just asking for stuff to consume it on your own lust. But listen, if your number one goal, if you're really seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, no matter what your part in the body is, no matter what he's got you doing, if in your heart you're seeking first the kingdom to be right where he wants you to be and doing what you're supposed to be doing, he'll supply every need. Jesus promised this in Matthew chapter 6, right near the end. He says, why? Don't be worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, that kind of house you're going to live in. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, it's just so wonderful. And that'll happen, or Jesus is a liar. And you know he's not. He absolutely cannot lie. It's absolutely true. You have a provider. You have a Father who will provide for you, no matter what the people say. And the last one I had listed here, and there's so many more that could be listed, but the people would say, oh, listen, that's fine for you, but listen, we're secular people, and or even religious people. We're, you know, like Laodicea, the church at Laodicea said, oh, we're rich, we're full, we don't have need of anything. Well, a lot of the church world is like that, to be honest. And the secular world is really like that. We don't need God. We can provide for ourselves. And so they'd say, we'll just work to provide for ourselves, and we're going to consume everything that we earn on ourselves. They would say, we don't need the Father. They would try and get the serving son, and I've had this happen. You know, they'll kind of show off. You know, look at my house. Look at my swimming pool. Look at my new cars, and look at your used cars, Gary. You know, Gary, you still living in a rented house? What's wrong with you? Look at you, you know. But see, I'm putting first the kingdom of God. They're all liars. Well, they don't know that they're lying, I don't think. They're all deceived, let's say it that way. Let me just tell you plain, I have a Father. He has provided for us all these years. I mean, you can tell by looking, I'm not starving. We live in a nice house. Our cars are used. They're older, but they're both of them very nice cars. We have food in the refrigerator, gasoline in the cars. I got me a beautiful wife. We got decent clothes to wear. He's provided for us wonderfully, and he'll continue. And it doesn't matter where he sends me either. My Father is everywhere. So anyway, the serving son had learned that he needed more than just financial support from his Father. He sent a messenger back to the Father. This is called prayer. When I say he sent a messenger back, what do you mean, Gary? He prayed, Father, I need help. This enemy is relentless, you know. Now, for teaching purposes, let's say that the Father, he received this message, and he had an ally. Now, I know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but we're in teaching mode, okay? Here we've got the Father, we've got the serving Son and his caravan who's gone out to seek and save the lost, and they're under constant attack from the enemy, and the serving Son prays, sends a messenger back, we need help, we need more than just financial provision. So the Father has an ally, and his name is the Holy Spirit. The Father said, I will send my Holy Spirit to be with my serving Son, and he'll be with him forever. I don't care what the enemy does. Anything that is needed in the way of power, anointings, counsel, will be available to my serving Son through this Holy Spirit. My serving Son will never lack for any good thing. Man, there's so many scriptures right there. Jesus said, all that the Father has is mine. The Holy Spirit will take of mine and show it unto you. I don't care what it is you need. You have been made a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The same. All that the Father has is his. You've been made a joint heir. All that the Father has is yours. James says, you have not because you ask not. Oh, Sue and I have become good askers over the years. Let me continue here now with the thinking of the Father. He says, my Holy Spirit will also be my serving Son's counselor. He'll only speak the truth. Whenever false reports come to my serving Son, this helper will be the counselor that my Son will turn to find out the truth. My serving Son will never have to depend on false reports again. My Holy Spirit will provide the leadership for my serving Son. My serving Son will never again have to depend on these natural road signs. You know, Paul, maybe we should go to Ephesus. Maybe we should, or Asia. Maybe we should go to Bithynia. Maybe this, maybe that. But the Holy Spirit, by way of a night vision, could be a dream, by way of a night vision anyway, showed them that man in Macedonia, and they knew where to go. See, we've got a leadership that comes by the Holy Ghost. And you don't have to be an apostle for that. I tell you again, I don't care. I don't care if you're a housewife raising godly children. You are a serving Son. You're raising up godly seed. You're putting first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Holy Spirit and his leadership and power belongs to you as much as any evangelist out there. And his counsel is yours. The Father would continue. He'd say, all of the power to destroy sickness and poverty will be available through my Holy Spirit. No longer will the enemy be able to place disease upon my serving Son or anybody in his caravan. No longer will the enemy be able to intercept my provision. He can't really stop it. You remember when Daniel prayed in the Old Testament, and when the angel finally got there, he says, listen, I was dispatched the very day you started praying. Here it was 21 days later, if I remember right. But he says the prince of Persia, that's demonic forces, they warred against him. And this angel had to go get Michael and other angels to come help him. The point is, there is warfare sometimes that delays things, all right, but it can't stop it. Can't stop it. So the Father continues now in his thinking, because his serving Son has asked for help. He says, I'm going to send help, all right. This helper, his name is the Holy Spirit. So the Father, he's continuing here. He says, all that I have is available to my serving Son. See, and that's what Jesus said. All that the Father has is mine. Do you know the Father said that to the elder son? That elder son said, you never even gave me a goat. Here you've killed the fatted calf for this returned prodigal. You never even gave me a goat. And the Father just looked at him like I kind of went blink, blink, you know, like, listen, son, don't you know? All that I have is yours. Blink, blink, what? What? All that I have is yours, see. But it doesn't, you're not going to have it through religion, just going through the motions all over. You've got to spend time with the Father. You'll never know what you have till you spend time with him. Oh, that's good. That's worth the price of admission if there was one right there. What joy it was to this serving son when the Holy Spirit arrived. Well, I'll never forget the day I got filled with the Holy Ghost. He found that he had received power now. That the Holy Spirit had come to him. With the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit, the mission continued now with great increase and more success than ever. But you know, the enemy didn't even give up then. At first, the enemy was completely dumbfounded as to what to do. How he could disrupt, what could he do now to stop the mission now that it's been empowered by the Holy Spirit? He knew he had no power nor authority against the Holy Spirit that had come from the Father. This Holy Spirit could not be tempted, could not be deceived, could not be bribed, could not be overpowered. What to do? If you're the devil, what do you do against this? And he knew that as long as the serving son stayed in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit, no weapon formed against him could prosper. So the enemy decided he only had one hope. Oh, this next part now. This is the enemy's only hope against you. His only hope. Since the Holy Spirit was invisible, the enemy had to somehow convince the serving son that the Holy Spirit had not come to him. His only hope was to get the serving son out of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. From that point on, the enemy focused all of his strategy on breaking the fellowship and the communication between the serving son and the Holy Spirit. If the enemy could somehow break the line of communication, then the serving son would be cut off from the leadership and the power and the anointing and the provision of the Father that would come through the Holy Spirit. And the serving son, if that happened, his only option would either be to give up or to continue the mission in his own strength. And in his own strength, he's no match for the enemy. That's why you got to put on the whole armor of God. See, and this is what God said, even in predicting all of this in the Old Testament. You can read this for yourself in Zechariah. That's back where the pages are still new. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, here it is, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The serving son is one body. We're all part of the body of Christ, made up of many members. You can read, let's just read it. We've got time. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. I'm going to read 12 through 14. For as the body is one and hath many members. Now he's talking about a human body. And all the members of that one body being many, they're still just one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. That's why I was saying it. The nose has a completely different function than the ear. The ear has a completely different function than the mouth. My legs have a completely different function than either of those. But all of the parts, even the internal parts, the liver, the pancreas, the lungs, the heart, all of these parts are part of the body. See? And you say, well, listen, I just answer the phones. That's all I do. You're part of the body. Somebody's got to answer the phone. Oh, I just sweep out the foyer after everybody leaves. Somebody's got to sweep the foyer. But see, all of the parts put together, it's one mission, really. God's getting his family back. Or you could say he's seeking and saving the lost. But I don't care what your part is. It may not be frontline evangelism, but your part in the body is necessary for the body to seek and save the lost. So good. Not all have the same office, but we all have the same call. to seek and save the lost. That's what this whole thing is about. This whole thing is about God getting his family back, trying to rescue as many as he possibly can before the end, so they won't perish. There are many offices and many jobs to be done in fulfilling that mission. You are a member of that body. You have a calling and an office. All are important, all are needed, and none are to be despised. Paul wrote about that also in 1 Corinthians 12. So let's pick it right up where we left off. Let's pick it up in verse, let's read 15 through 21. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. I didn't get to choose to be a teacher. God set me here. People call me Pastor Gary all the time, and that's okay. I'm not going to rebuke you, but I'm not one, and I never will be one. He's already told me I'm not a pastor. I'm a teacher. And God did that. I didn't choose that. You don't get to choose. Okay. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, well, then where would the body be? But now they are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We are all needed. It doesn't matter what your particular part in the body. You may be a pancreas. Well, nobody ever sees the pancreas. You need your pancreas, though. And the body of Christ needs you. No one ever sees me. No one ever hears me. Whatever he's got you doing, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You are needed in the body. Okay. All right, I pretty well said that same thing. The Holy Spirit understands everything there is to know concerning business, finances, investments, employment that coincides with the mind of Christ where a person's called in the body. It was the wisdom that Solomon received from the Holy Spirit that is recorded for us in the book of Proverbs. By following the counsel that he received from the Holy Spirit, Solomon became the richest of all kings. There are no problems, financial or otherwise, for which the Holy Spirit does not already have the answer. Be sure you stay in close fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about spend a lot of time in the Word of God and spend a lot of time praying in tongues. Spend time in worship. The Holy Spirit will help you in your worship. And then throw in some fasting every now and then. He has come to enforce the victory of Christ in every area of your life. At all costs, do not forsake your communion. I'm talking about fellowship, your communication, your time with the Holy Spirit. Remember, the only way that the enemy could interfere, stop the mission, he had to break that communication, that fellowship between the serving Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what he focuses on. Thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson. His assignment from heaven was to reestablish this communication, to teach us the value, all the reasons why. Praying in other tongues is such a gift from God, a tool, a weapon, an avenue where we can have direct communion, direct communication from our reborn human spirit to God the Holy Spirit at all times. Pray without ceasing. Pray at all times. Don't ever let the enemy break that communication. Hallelujah. Now, we've got 20 minutes left. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the next lesson. It's at the website called The Serving Son's Helper. And we're just going to go, we've got 20 minutes here. I'm just going to have to go really quick through some of the benefits of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, and why it is vital that we keep the communication lines open between ourselves and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one that's been sent. so that we will not be an orphan. Without this communication and fellowship and leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit, you do feel like an orphan. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know where the provision is. I don't know this. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. So just a few things here. From the vision that I described earlier, where the Father has sent the Holy Spirit, now he's going to come and help you. He is your helper. Okay? I can see that the helper was sent for one purpose and one purpose only, to help the serving son in every possible way in completing his mission successfully. There was nothing about the helper's assignment that was intended to harm, impede, slow down the serving son's progress. Quite the contrary. Specifically, from the vision, the Holy Spirit, provides leadership. Remember that the enemy kept posting these wrong road signs. Go this way. You need to go that way. But see, the enemy, he's trying to get you off the path of God. Oh, I love how Dave would teach us that when you speak in an unknown tongue, this is Romans 8:26-27, where he says the Holy Spirit, he knows the plan of God. He makes intercession for you according to the will of God. You may start off, maybe the enemy got you 40 miles away from God's perfect will. Here's God's perfect will right here. And you somehow, the enemy, you're 40 miles away, and you don't know how to get back. The moment, the instant you start praying in other tongues, he will not waste your time. The Holy Spirit starts directing your steps right back to the center line of God's perfect will. Whew. Sometimes it grows like a tree. Have you ever spent a day watching a tree grow? It seems like nothing's happening, but it is happening. It is happening. He will direct your steps right back to the perfect plan of God. He will provide leadership. And the Holy Spirit, he looses the supply train. The enemy had sent hordes, just like the enemy sent in the spirit. He had sent these enemies against the angel that had been sent to bring the answer to Daniel. Their warfare. Well, the hordes had prevented the actual delivery of the supplies sometimes to the serving son. But the helper released hosts of angels to drive away those demons and escort the wagons of supplies safely to the serving son. The helper provides counsel. I got to read this one. See, the enemy kept sending false messengers who claimed they were bringing information from the Father. This is called religion. Paul called them false apostles. He called them false brethren. He called them angels of light that were really bringing deception. But the helper caused the serving son to discern that those messengers were wolves in sheep's clothing. The serving son learned to get his information directly from the helper, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit only speaks truth. Whew. Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth. Whew. The helper only speaks what he hears in the presence of the Lord. The helper has been sent to be your counselor. Whew. You start getting your counsel from God the Holy Ghost, hell is in trouble. Hell is in trouble. Now get this too, the helper brings power and anointing to enforce the authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ. The enemy kept sending wave after wave of attacks against the serving son in many ways: sickness, equipment failures, car trouble, that'd be camel trouble then, floods, tornadoes, and many such things. Before the arrival of the helper, the serving son was powerless to stop those attacks. But the Father had said, I will send my Holy Spirit to be with my serving son. Everything that the serving son speaks, my Holy Spirit will perform. Boy, seminar right there. Anything that is needed in the way of power and anointings will be available to my serving son at all times. My son shall never lack any good thing. The serving son soon learned that whatever he spoke, the Holy Spirit performed for him in the name of Jesus. He then guarded his words very carefully. Would to God we would learn that lesson. Guard our words very carefully. He learned to never speak anything except the desired end result. What he desired, he spoke, and the helper manifested his words. Now, all of that is under the leadership, the direction of the Father. The serving son discovered that there was no limit. There are no limits to the power and anointing that are available from the helper. All of the attacks were stopped by releasing this power of the helper through the spoken word. Absolutely nothing was impossible for this helper as long as the serving son believed that what he spoke would come to pass. That's Mark 11:23-24. That is foundational. You have to believe that what you say will come to pass. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You have to believe that. That's what faith is. Have faith in God. What you say will come to pass. How did God create everything that is? And God said, and God said, and God said, and it was, and it was, and it was. This is, have faith in God. See, the helper makes all things possible. And I've got, I'm going to run out of time here. Let's read John 14:16-17 together. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. You could say helper there. That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now he was telling them the truth before they could be born again and receive the Holy Ghost on the inside. But you have been born again. Most of you that's listening to this, you've already been filled with the Holy Ghost. You know him, and he is inside of you. Now, there's great confusion in the body of Christ about the Holy Spirit and the anointing. Most people think they're two separate things, but they're not really two separate things. Now, watch this. Go to Acts 10:38. This verse changed my life in so many ways. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice the scripture says that God anointed Jesus, now all caps here, with the Holy Ghost. God anointed Jesus. What did he anoint him with? The Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost comes power. Okay, hang on. Got to flip the page again. You got to understand, the Holy Spirit doesn't bring the anointing. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. The Holy Spirit, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. The anointing is a person. I'm going to read this page pretty much. I think we've got time. The anointing is a person. Gary talking. I have always thought of the anointing as being a tangible thing. I must now conclude that the anointing is a person. Specifically, the anointing is the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost himself. He does not have the anointing. He is the anointing. And the anointing is not a thing. The anointing is someone. The anointing is a person. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. With the Holy Ghost comes power. Okay, next thing, all caps. The anointing is a living entity. The anointing is not a thing, but rather a living entity with a will, intelligence, emotions, and all of the attributes that we ascribe to personality. The anointing is alive. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the finger of God. The Holy Spirit is the hand of God outstretched. I go pray in tongues now. Glory to God. Next one, all caps. The anointing has a voice. I'm still having trouble putting into words that carry the same impact as the knowledge of this in my spirit. I remember when it first dawned on me, the anointing has a voice. Being a living entity, the anointing himself. What a phrase. The anointing himself can actually communicate with you. He can tell you the actions that you need to do to loose his power. The anointing is not a thing to be studied, but rather an entity with whom to fellowship and cooperate with. Said another way, there is no need for guesswork regarding the activation of the power of God. The anointing himself will personally communicate with us those things that will release his power in every given situation. This is leadership indeed. This is light indeed. This eliminates all causes for stumbling along in the dark, wondering what to do. The only thing needful is to develop that ability to hear him and the mortification then required to obey him. I have learned this over and over again. It's one thing to train yourself to hear his voice, and you can do that. Again, Pastor Dave Roberson is the best teacher on that subject. He's much better than I am. I've done my best to reteach many of those things. But if you want to go to the fountain, all those series that are at Pastor Dave's website, like I'm thinking of Distinguishing God's Voice and Walking in the Spirit, the very first series that's on his series page. If you haven't heard that, if you haven't heard the Born Again Trail, you just don't have anything else to do. Get with it. There's a lot. You can learn to hear his voice, but I've learned over these years, it's one thing to learn to hear his voice, but it's another thing to be mortified enough to obey his voice. You remember when he spoke to Ananias and he said, I got a mission for you. Now, Ananias is not in the fivefold as far as we know. It says he was just a certain disciple and he lived in this place. God says, I want you to go lay hands on Saul of Tarsus. Well, Ananias, he said, are you sure? Do you know who you're sending me to lay hands on? This guy, he's breathing out slaughter against the church. He has Christians arrested. Some of them he has stoned. Have you heard about Stephen? In other words, there was fear. There was fear. And God didn't rebuke him. The Lord just continued to instruct him. He said, listen, I want you to do what I told you. I'm going to show him. He's made my body suffer. I'm going to show him what things he's going to wind up suffering for my kingdom, for me and my kingdom. And Ananias, he overcame his fear. See, it's one thing to Ananias first heard the voice and he was afraid. But continuing to listen to the Lord, that fear got mortified, at least to the point he obeyed. He went and he laid his hands on Brother Saul. He believed what the Lord told him. And sure enough, the power of God. What did God need? He needed Ananias to obey his voice. It comes by the Holy Spirit. Could be a vision, could be a dream, could be just hearing. But he needed Ananias to go and be the hands. Do you understand that when Ananias laid his hands on Saul at that moment, for all practical purposes, the hands of Ananias became the hands of Jesus. Whew. Jesus has no body on planet Earth but ours. If he need hands laid on, he needs Ananias or somebody, your preacher or you, go lay hands on him. And you got to understand that when you do that, it's not your hands. It's the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you in the name of Jesus. He is the hand of the Father outstretched. And sure enough, when Ananias laid his hands on Saul, the blindness left him, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's so wonderful. Now, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, is not your Lord. He plainly, over and over again, he has not come to replace the Lordship of Jesus. He has come to bring you the Lordship of Jesus. In last week's lesson, we talked about Peter, who heard instructions from the lips of Jesus, the physical lips of Jesus, to the physical ears of Peter. But today, Jesus, in his glory, he has lips. He has a glorified body seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, we're not at the right, we're positionally there, but we're not literally there. We can't hear what he's saying. But that's exactly the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he's not going to speak on his own. What he hears, that's what he speaks to you. So today we can get instructions directly from the lips of Jesus, but now they are discerned in our spirit by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Again, we're back to praying in other tongues, speaking those mysteries. What is the Lord saying to me? At the beginning, while you're praying, your spirit is being taught, but your understanding is unfruitful. But it won't remain unfruitful. Eventually, that understanding comes, and you go, oh, he wants me to go lay hands on Saul of Tarsus. Or whatever it is he's called you to do. So the anointing is not Lord, but he's been sent to bring you the Lordship of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. There's so much in this lesson, and there's so much in that series, The Serving Son. Let me just read some of the topics here, because I'm just skipping a stone across the pond. We're just barely touching on it. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, regenerates? With the power resident within himself, the Holy Spirit's actions, what we normally refer to as the anointing, he can move at the subatomic level to regenerate material substance and reorder material situations to conform to the will of the Father as revealed by the mind of Christ. In other words, the blind can see, the lame can walk, the deaf can hear. Did you know the anointing is activated by faith? And Lord, there's so many wonderful teachings on faith. But it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit, he does all of this by faith. You have to believe the Gospels. You have to believe the message. His anointing is available for everything. All right. Again, we're just about out of time. I'll make sure I at least get the topics in here. Did you know the anointing, the Holy Spirit, will show you things to come? Sure will. He'll show you things to come and even prepare you ahead of time. And for all kinds of things, for your ministry, what he wants you to be doing in the future. I remember one time, Sue and I, this was back in the days of cassettes. I don't even know if we owned a computer yet. And in those early days, you ought to have seen us when it was mailing time. We had these cassettes all over the living room floor, and we had bubble mailers everywhere, and we had ring binders with names and requests in those ring binders. And Sue would read off to me, okay, get the one to Joe Smith. I'd get the envelope to Joe Smith. And he says, okay, put in tape number this one and tape number that one and lick it and get it ready to go. I mean, I was in the process of all that. And one day God showed me something. And it just, at the time, it looked like a stick of gum. But I saw this little quick little vision of us putting these little sticks of gum in mailers and sending them off. What was he showing me? That's a thumb drive. There's certain parts of the world where they don't have internet and they can't really download things. And we send them thumb drives. We've been doing it for years. And we can put on, nowadays, you can put our whole ministry practically on one thumb drive. And you mail that to them, whether they have, if they got a computer, which most of them have that, they may have terrible internet, but they have a computer. With that thumb drive, they have access to everything. Amazing. God was showing me something to come. Man, never even heard of such a thing as that. But awareness of his presence is vital. I'm going to end it with this one. This is something the Holy Spirit said to me, and I'm telling you, this is so vitally important. Awareness of my presence, I'm quoting the Holy Spirit, awareness of my presence is vital and key to releasing my power. Understand that I am with you, whether you are aware of it or not. But lack of awareness brings lack of expectation. Lack of awareness brings lack of faith. Lack of awareness causes the leadership that comes by vision and by the inward witness and by words spoken to your spiritual ear to be dismissed. Do not dismiss these things, for it is by these that I manifest the gifts through you, says the Spirit of the Lord. You have to become aware that the Holy Spirit is with you. Okay, there's so much more, but we hit the main topics. Now, that's just a recap, a summary of the series, The Serving Son. I would recommend you again to the website. And there's a 6-part MP3 series there, The Serving Son. All right. I think that's it for today. I only ran about a minute over. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.